Welcome to the Fulham on Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:13 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is March 25th, and it's been really rather an exciting day, particularly in the equity markets, where we saw the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up over 6%. There was a very good return too in Australia, up almost 4%, the Nikkei up 2%, and right across the boards in Europe, almost everything up in excess of 3%. So, following through from those good gains that we saw last Thursday in the US, and this is really quite positive action, particularly on a number of those European indices where we see that markets are breaking back above those January lows in the cases where they had fallen below them. And when we look at the Wall Street indices, particularly the Dow Jones and the S&P, well, they hadn't really broken down at all, and they're actually returning back up towards the upper side of their ranges. The S&P is currently around 1352, almost 1353, and we would be expecting it to encounter some sort of resistance and lightening of long trades around 1400. That's the upper side of the range. What we have certainly seen is that there's been a loss of momentum in downtrends, that markets have found support close to or above their January lows, and we're seeing good rallies in here at the moment. There has also been an absolute cacophony of bearishness over the last couple of weeks as markets went back down to test those January lows, and there have been a number of indicators which have hit bearish extremes, from sentiment indicators to breadth indicators, and there have also been the massive downward accelerations we've seen on so many of those financial shares. I think that article that I posted today by Anatole Kaletsky did a very good job of explaining the liquidity crisis and the reductio ad absurdum that really has forced so many of these financial shares, particularly those some of the big banks, down to really quite ridiculous levels. This is a liquidity crisis, and certainly, there is problems with banks getting funding, but to infer from the price of credit default swaps that so many of these are actually going to go bust is, I think, rather absurd. We certainly have had Bear Stearns going bust and Northern Rock in the UK, and that certainly put the cat among the pigeons in terms of sentiment. But we're not going to see a total collapse of the financial industry entirely. And that does mean that a number of these shares are quite cheap in here at the moment. And we are starting to see pretty good rallies in the financial sector. But also in the retail sector, where you look at stocks such as Walmart or General Electric, well, Walmart had a fantastic upward dynamic last week, and so did General Electric, as these shares have also been hit relatively hard. But you look at a chart like Walmart, where that is really quite an emphatic upward break from a base, and is certainly not something to take lightly when you have a strong retail type business like Walmart's, and GE has long been reflected as a proxy for the wider economy. And both of these shares doing really remarkably well over the last week or so, and showing that there are bargain hunters certainly getting in here in force. It does, I think, it's just one more indication that we are coming towards the bottom, or we have seen at least a bottom of medium-term significance for the equity markets. And counterpoint, when you look at the bond prices, well, bonds in the US came down sharply on Thursday, and that was followed through today in JGBs and Eurobonds and the gilts. They all had downward dynamics. The bonds in particular really fell dramatically down from that loss momentum towards the old highs, made a new high last week, wasn't able to hold it, and we had that really quite a dramatic drop down from there in here today. Of course, you haven't had the same type of downward ex of acceleration in bond prices on the upside that you did in some of those financial shares on the downside. So these do have potential to fall really rather significantly. I've referred to, on a number of occasions at this point, to the credit markets, there's a certain amount of model myopia, because all issuers are being treated very, very, very much the same, with spreads widening right across the boards. But you can't equate the default risk for all companies as being the same just because credit default swaps have got a lot more expensive. And there is certainly bar there are bargains out there at the moment. But as investors come to this realization, and as we go through time and we see that we're not going to see a huge rush of insolvencies. Now, that is not to say that we're not going to see more defaults than we have over the last 5 years, because we've had a very, very small number indeed. Indeed, over the last 20 years, there have been a very small number of defaults. We could potentially see more of those. But I think that the extent to which spreads have widened in here right now is a poor reflection of just where the risk actually lies. There is potential for bond markets to come back rather sharply. Whereas when you look at equity markets, they're bouncing from the lower side of their ranges, and we can anticipate that they will rally back up towards the top of their ranges. But there's no evidence yet that we're going to see them push very much beyond that. Because in particularly for those indices that have a very large weighting of financial shares, there's been a lot of technical damage done, and it is going to take time for them to build a base and build support and flush out some of the rabid bearishness that is in there at the moment. And I think potentially go through a period of just apathy in towards the financial sector, and leadership will certainly move to other sectors. And right now, that is in the resources. Now, those resources have also taken a hit over the last couple of weeks, but they've held up remarkably well in comparison to so many other sectors, particularly those home building and resources sectors. Actually, I should mention that home building has held up really rather better over the last couple of months, and is one of the better performing sectors generally on the S&P this quarter. So that is certainly something to bear in mind. Now, in the commodities sector, we've seen gold and silver and platinum finding at least short-term support in here right now. This has been a really sharp correction over the last week, and we could get a short covering rally in here over the next couple of days. However, when you look at those longer term charts, and I would really advise looking at the longer term minimum 5 year charts, we've seen precious metals in particular, but also those agricultural commodities, they've gone up an awful lot, and the energy complex has gone up a lot. Then, are they ripe for a medium term correction? I think we can the answer to that question is probably. And what would countermand that opinion would be seeing these moving upwards and breaking up to new highs and sustaining that move to new high ground. There is potential that this is a penultimate high before a really, really big acceleration, but I wouldn't be working on that assumption given the chart action. We've had a good rally in here today with gold up $20, but that's just not enough to really tell us that this market has found support beyond the short term. And when you look at the oil price at $100, that has actually steadied up probably better than the rest, but again, it hadn't had that same type of acceleration. So that's certainly something that tells us we can't treat every commodity as in the same boat. There will definitely be outperformers relative to some of the underperformers that we're seeing right now. Often we see that when something is accelerated very, very quickly and is the, I suppose, it's the difference between Mr. Muscle turning into Mr. Bean. The strongest markets can turn into the weakest markets overnight, following an acceleration, and we're seeing a certain amount of that in here right now. And that's pretty much it for me. I suppose I should also mention the dollar. The dollar was weaker in here today following that consumer confidence news, and of course it had rallied rather well last week, but not in a very dynamic fashion. And we could potentially see further lows in the dollar, but it would have to break below the lows from last week to reaffirm its downtrend. And we could see just a little bit of a loss of momentum over the coming weeks. With that, I will say goodbye for the evening and thank you very much for your time. David will return tomorrow, and I'm off for the next 2 weeks on paternity leave, looking after my wife, who's just had her cesarean, and our little baby, who has been asleep for the last 3 hours, so she's going to be hungry. And a 9 pound, 5 ounce baby, my gosh, does she drink a lot. And our first daughter, Aisling, is absolutely thrilled to have a little sister. But thank you very much for your time, and have a great evening.